Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikutlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen territories of the Ketse, Kwikutlem, and Stolo First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. Oh man, how are you? How's it going? Okay. Yeah. Bro, I've been, ungendered, obviously. I've been having a rough week, honestly. A rough day. But we move through it. If there is at least one thing that my parents bestowed upon me, it is not their willingness to please and be polite and to work hard and to discipline themselves. It is the uncanny will to continue to survive. So we move forward on today's program. But oh, I hope you are having a better time than I am having. And one thing that we can look forward to, I guess, the one thing that I'm looking forward to, and perhaps you are also looking forward to, I'm going to make you look forward to it. Okay? Is that today I'm talking about part two of my Yuri manga recommendations on my very long Yuri manga recommendations list. Now, if you listened to last week's episode of Typically Tuesdays, I talked all about girls love manga. Girls love, of course, quick refresher, is this genre of media in which it centers on romantic relationships between women. Now, there are two kind of like subtypes, I guess, of this genre. One of them is shoujo ai, in which the relationships are not as out there, I guess. They're implicit is the word. They're implicit. Meanwhile, Yuri as the genre is the take on girls' love in which the relationship and the romance is overt. There are confirmed gay, queer, lesbianic, sapphic feelings happening in the story. Last week, I discussed a little bit of the history of girls' love as a literary genre, starting from the Class S realm of fiction, and I talked a little bit about queerness as it appears in shoujo manga, particularly beginning in the 60s and the 70s, and how in some ways, because of that history of girls' love portrayed in Japanese comics, in manga, sometimes I think conceptually that Yuri and girls' love is about women falling in love with each other, but it can't always be considered to us LGBTQ+ literature, because not all of the time are the stories really grounded in the maybe lived experiences, issues, and joys that real queer women experience. Rather, a lot of these stories are about exploration of personal identity, experiences of loneliness, pain, trauma, friendship, and at the same time, many of these stories on the total other end of the spectrum are meant to kind of provoke and titillate, is I think the terms that I used. Let's continue on with the list of recommendations though this week. Last week I recommended a few titles that center on teen romances because a lot of Yuri manga and a lot of the stuff that I've read as a young person center around teen romances. It's a very commercialized trope. It's a very popularized trope, so it's really easy to find a lot of titles that focus on teen romances. But this week, I am going to be talking about a second genre. A second category. In my brain, it's a second category, and it is romances between young adults. These are stories about people who have graduated high school, essentially. They might be working adults, they might be college students, but they are in that really awkward phase of life where you're not exactly a child anymore, but your brain is still not fully developed. Youth. It's about youth, okay? I'm going to be sharing a few titles off that list today. I'm really excited to as well because I think I've chosen some really good ones that I think that are kind of underrated. And they span the spectrum of wholesome and, oh my god, I'm crying because I'm sad. I hope you are excited. We'll listen to some more music this week as well. As luck would have it, I have more time to share music today. It's in line with the theme that I had last week, I think, which was like music that like maybe can be considered queer. And I think today's musicians are all queer. Lucky for you, and lucky for me, and lucky for the community. Okay, gonna stop talking now. Let's go on with the playlist. Here is an oldie but a goodie, and it may not be sapphic, but the queer joy is there. Fleece with Upside Down.
I'll stop boggling you and is Bird Note. Poison ivy is the bane of many outdoor enthusiasts. The plant's distinctive leaves are made up of three leaflets, and starting in late summer, its branches are full of whitish berries that are toxic to humans, but not to a gray catbird. They'll land on poison ivy and pluck off the berries one after another. Just like its leaves, poison ivy berries are rich in an oil called urushiol that can cause a serious allergic reaction in humans. But catbirds and other bird species just aren't sensitive to urushiol. Poison ivy berries are one of many fruits that help birds survive fall and winter once insects become scarce. Other wild fruits such as pokeberry, holly, and Virginia creeper are poisonous to humans, but not to birds. So the old survival advice to eat the berries that birds eat turns out to be pretty misleading. While you probably want to stay away from poison ivy, you can improve habitats for birds by planting native fruit bushes and advocating for wildlife-friendly gardening in public green spaces. Learn more on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Ariana Rimmel. Support for Bird Note is provided by Jerry Tone and Martha Wyckoff from Seattle, Washington, and generous listeners around the world.
Closer to
Beautiful, just beautiful. That was When I Closed My Eyes by Callie Sway. Before that, you heard Liquor Run by Ruby Waters off of the album What's the Point? So true, bestie. The point, though, today is Yuri, of course, here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Hey, I'm Leslie. Here is part two of my recommendations for underrated Yuri manga, and this section is about romances between young adults. Just a quick refresher, you know, I'm going to be focusing on Japanese comics, so it's going to be mostly manga, and then this is not a spoiler-free episode. I will be talking about the summary of each title, and then going on to discuss why I think it's good, and I'll be talking about plot points. Therefore, do not come in expecting to be teased. I will tell you everything about these stories, and basically I just want you to confirm that they're good when you go on to read them. The other thing as well is that, as before, I'll be giving a special shout-out title in these recommendations because I can and because I want to. And so I'm going to be giving a special shout-out to the not Japanese comic, to the actually Korean webcomic webtoon manhwa called Fluttering Feelings by Samba, and that is spelled S-S-A-M-B-A. This story is about Nore and Sola, who are strangers on their first day of their new college semester, and they keep bumping into each other, but slowly they become trusted classmates and colleagues, then friends, and then best friends, and then finally, maybe there's just something more to their relationship. They begin to slowly fall in love with each other, and the way that the story progresses, it feels like that, like, slow burn trope, I guess. But really what it is that it feels natural. All of the Yuri manga that I'm recommending in this series are romances, but very few have made me genuinely feel that, like, heart pitter-patter in the way that Fluttering Feelings has. And I think the reason why is because of the genuine slowness and pacing that the author tries to write into the story. It never really feels like it's tacked on. It feels thoughtful, and that each moment has a significant reason or meaning behind the way that, you know, that scene makes your heart go pitter-patter, that moment when Nore and Sola realize, oh, maybe there's something a little bit more to our relationship. This webtoon, I think, as I was reading it, when it was like being updated in real time, I think it kind of became the webtoon manhwa that popularized the GL genre and was kind of saying, like, look, there can be a really lovely romantic slice of life story that is about two women falling in love with each other. And so I kind of like to think of Fluttering Feelings as the ancestor of a lot of popular GL titles that exist in the web manhwa space now. And I really hold on to those fond memories of reading it and feeling as though I were falling in love because of the way that the romance made me feel in this story and how the story played out. But the one thing that you should know before you go into read Fluttering Feelings is that it is actually unfinished. And it's that way because the author Samba passed away after a years-long battle with cancer. In many ways, I really respect that it has not finished. I don't know that an assistant or like a successor to Samba could have ever put together the same type of romantic pacing that they did. And I don't know that anybody else would have been able to tell the story in a way that felt really natural and grounded and thoughtful in the way that Samba did. So just something to note before you go into Fluttering Feelings. But if you really like friends to lovers stories, and also you want to read something slow burn that really does make you feel as though you yourself are falling in love, read Fluttering Feelings by Samba. With that being said, let's go into the real list now. The first story that I will present to you that is actually a manga is called Catch These Hands. It's written by Murata, M-U-R-A-T-A, and it's rated teen on their distributor website. Anytime somebody asks me for like a wholesome yuri manga recommendation, I always recommend this one because I do think it's like genuinely like pretty all ages friendly. I mean, definitely 14 plus, but pretty friendly in that way. And also, it's a rom-com. We love a rom-com. This is the only rom-com on the list. The story kind of is just very silly. So ex-delinquent Takebe's old crew has moved on, raising families and working hard to pay off rent. Meanwhile, she's a bit aimless, wants to turn her life around and become a responsible adult, but doesn't even really know where to start. While perusing a clothing shop to buy a suit for job interviews, she discovers that her longtime rival, ex-delinquent Soramori, works there as a clerk. Their encounter shakes up Soramori, who can never let go of their old relationship. Well, more accurately, she can never let go of her one-sided crush on Takebe. The two promise each other a showdown, with one condition. If Soramori bests Takebe, which she's always done in the past, they'll have to start dating. This one is so cute because it's basically like that concept of idiot one is in love with idiot two, and that's where the hijinks kind of ensue. It's, in my opinion, equal parts funny and cute. I mean, first, when you look at the illustrations, it's very, very cute. Murata's character design and their style is very, like, cute comedy adjacent manga, and so, like, all of their characters have these, like, adorable giant round faces with these, like, gigantic round eyes and tiny little button noses, and they have, like, great expressions. It's very, very adorable to look at, but the story itself is just so charming. Takebe, like, really does not understand this whole, like, relationship stuff. She's never been in a relationship before, probably has never wanted to be in a relationship before, but Soramori is so in love with her. And the funniest part, I think, about all of it is that Soramori is genuinely a better fighter than Takebe. Takebe has no choice but to give into Soramori's, like, advances. And Soramori's very respectful of Takebe's boundaries, but Takebe doesn't like to lose. She feels very much like, okay, if I lost, then I'm gonna have to go all in on this girlfriend thing. And she struggles with it so hard. As the story progresses, you see a lot of growth actually in Takebe's character, where she begins to realize that she can actually lean on Soramori for companionship and for support. She begins to trust Soramori, and Soramori in turn kind of like gets to have her little glorious moment where, like, yeah, maybe like Takebe's not like totally in love with her yet, but she's still happy that they're in this companionship, they're in this like supportive relationship. And this just like this really interesting other take of what a romance can look like. One of the other reasons why I think that this story deserves more attention is because the author themselves, Murata, actually makes quite a bit of a concerted effort to communicate with English-speaking fans. I remember many years ago when I was still using Twitter, I had found some of the fan drawings that they created for that show Arcane, and they were like a big like Caitlyn and Vi shipper, and they were replying to and talking to people in English. I think they even like made like they themselves went to the effort of translating their fan comics into English for their English speaking readers. I personally really appreciate that, especially because, again, I really think that people should read Murata's comics. Actually, I've been following Murata's work for a very long time, for like almost 10 years. I used to read their, like, I think it's Love Live fan comics, their Love Live shipping fan comics, and it was just really exciting to see that Catchley's hands was serialized, and that they continue to make comics. So yeah, I want you to read it. And again, it's just so funny and wholesome and cute. Like, it's like the perfect rom-com. Go check it out. That's Catchley's Hands by Murata. I'm gonna take a breath and share some music with you. Asha with Nina.
In the center of Delhi, the capital of India, there's a three-story pink building that serves as an unusual type of hospital. Not for people, but for birds. It's called the Charity Birds Hospital, and the institution is over 90 years old. At Charity Birds Hospital, a small staff takes care of approximately 2,600 birds at a time, providing antibiotics, medicine, food, and a safe place to rest for injured or sick birds. Dr. Haravdar Singh, the lead veterinarian at the hospital, says the majority of the birds in the hospital are pigeons, but they also take care of parrots, kites, vultures, and peacocks depending on the season.
Sometimes I feel it's me. I think these birds are thankful to me.
A big city like Delhi can be perilous to birds. Dr. Singh notes that fans in the summertime can trap them and children's kite strings slice into their wings. But anyone can bring a bird to Charity Birds Hospital, where they are cared for, completely for free. The hospital is run entirely on donations, mostly from the Jain community, which follows the philosophy live and let live. If the bird does recover, they're brought to the roof of the hospital, where they're given food, water, and other necessities. And at the very moment of their choosing, they take a flight, a free bird again. For Bird Note, I'm Trisha Mukherjee.
You could absolutely break my heart. That's how I know that we're in love. I don't need the symbol of a scar. So put down the knife. We're not swapping blood. Isn't it enough that we strip down to our skin, cold and porcelain, like bathers in a painting? And I told you of your past lives, every man you've ever been. It wasn't flattering, but you listened like it mattered. I feel crazy in ways I never say. Will you still love me if it turns out I'm insane? I know what you'll say, but it helps to hear you say it anyway. Some October in the future, I'll run out of trash TV and I'll be feeling lonely. So I'll walk to karaoke, sing the song you wrote about me. Never once check in the words. I hope that no one sings along. I hope that I'm not a regular. Damn, that makes me sad. It doesn't have to be like that. If you rewrite your life, may I still play a part in the next. Will you find me? I'll be the boy with the pink carnation pinned to my lapel, who looks like hell and asks for help. And if you do, I'll know it's you. I can't imagine you without the same smile in your eyes. There is something about you that I will always recognize. And if you don't remember, I will try to remind you of the hummingbirds. You know, and the baby scorpion, and the winter lunar halo, and the walk we took in the redwoods. I could go on and on and on, and I will go on and on and on until it all comes back.
We're in Love by Boy Genius here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and as we inch closer towards the top of the hour, I'm going to be sharing with you one of my favorite Yuri manga titles, I think. And I think it's kind of underappreciated here in North America. I feel that way, but mostly because it's kind of hard to get through, if I'm going to be very honest. So this one is called How Do We Relationship by Tami Ful. And it's rated for older teens, but I actually would not even recommend anybody who isn't like maybe 21 or 22 and older to read it, and you'll find out why. I'll share some thoughts with you. So college freshmen Sayako and Miwa meet as members of their school's band club. When they come out to each other, they do what a lot of young lesbians do when they meet their first other young lesbian: they become girlfriends. This 14-volume series follows Sayako and Miwa's relationship over the course of their four-year college careers. It's a story told with, I think, a lot of thoughtfulness and compassion, as it follows the lives of two flawed people trying to understand self-acceptance, love, and desire. When you look at the cover illustration of the first volume, you might be really struck by the fun character designs and Tami Ful's style. They use like this really cool mix of thin pens and also like thick bold pens as well. The characters look very cute. They're kind of silly looking. If you like flip through the first volume really quickly, you're gonna see like a lot of like weird funny expressions on the characters. And in maybe the first chapter it feels like it's gonna be a rom-com, but actually How Do We Relationship is really not a rom-com. I would say it's really not for the faint of heart. It's focus on Miwa and Sayako, like for a good amount of the time, is about them hurting each other and doing crappy things to each other. They use each other, they are awful at communicating, and I think the story goes into quite a bit of detail on their toxic behaviors. And at the same time, I think that's why people should be reading this story. I think it's a really raw and real portrayal of what it's like being a young person navigating your very first relationship, and growing from that, learning the capacity for love, learning to have more empathy for the people in your lives. There's so much about this manga that makes it feel so lived and grounded, and I think that's what adds so much merit to this story. One of the things that really stands out to me is the fact that Tami Ful puts a lot of effort into updating the clothing choices and hairstyles of the characters as they progress through their college years. And so you're basically watching these young people follow the trends and like discover their style as the story moves on, which I think is really, really interesting. And if you are a person who likes fashion and fashion illustration in particular, and or you're a person who just likes like interesting looking people, beautiful looking people. I think this is a really good manga to check out because visually there's so much thought put into it. Tamifu even like has these author's notes throughout the volumes where they talk about how they design the rooms and layouts of each character and how their character would have decorated their living space. And another thing, so do you remember when I said that a lot of Yuri manga, I personally would not consider it to be 2S LGBT plus literature because it doesn't really explore the lived experiences, issues, joys, and etc. of 2S LGBTQ plus people? Well, I think that How Do We Relationship does make a concerted effort in doing that. Because this story is so much about self-acceptance and identity, it's also about growing up and becoming like a responsible, mature person. There's actually quite a bit of discussion around the issues that queer women face. So, for example, there's this really interesting point in the story where there's kind of this exploration about compulsory heterosexuality. And it's after Miwa and Sayako have broken up. They've stopped seeing each other as friends with benefits as well. And Miwa is quite depressed because she wants to be in a relationship, but she's found that loving women can feel a little bit difficult. She puts her whole self into it, obviously, and she feels that there is a lot of intensity and emotion that's involved when she really loves somebody. And Sayako, you know, they're still friends. Sayako makes a really interesting suggestion. Even though the two know that the other is a lesbian and not interested in men, she suggests to Miwa, why don't you start dating a man? You know, it might not be as difficult on you emotionally if you're not attracted to them, but also it's easier to move around in society in that way. And so Miwa does this thing that many a lesbian has done, and we look at for a conventionally attractive man or a man who we think, you know, is pretty good looking, and we try to will ourselves into falling in love with them. Now, this point might seem kind of like silly to somebody who may not be all that familiar with the experiences of lesbians and may not be all that familiar with the concept of compulsory heterosexuality, but this is very much a thing that many lesbians do when they're trying to figure out, okay, what is my key to survival in this society? And there are also a lot of other interesting moments similar to that as well, where the author Tamifu is making some kind of observation, I think, about queer women in Japan. There's this other really... this one is actually quite funny. There's this other really interesting moment in the story where Sayako begins to actually meet other lesbians and queer women who aren't just her exes, and she's discovering for the first time that there is this kind of existing community where the characters live of queer women of all walks of life, of all different ages, of all different hobbies and interests. And for the first time, she's kind of building this community with other queer women who are not her exes. But it begins in a funny way because she ends up getting roped into this community by her ex-girlfriend's ex-girlfriend, which just goes to kind of like speak to the idea that actually the hub of queer women in your local area is very small, and everybody is just like one degree of separation away from knowing somebody else. So those things to me feel like, it makes me feel as though Tamifu has either done the research to understand lesbian lives and experiences that makes me feel as though maybe like they are one of us even. And I think in that way, like it does really make me feel as though this is a story that leans a little bit closer towards the side of the Yuri manga spectrum that is not just provocative and titillating, but also genuinely can be read in the realm of 2S LGBTQ literature. And finally, I just think that this manga is incredibly well written, and it is a story that is told with such compassion and such heart. As I said before, this story is not for everyone. These characters are horrible sometimes. It's really quite difficult at certain points to move through the manga because they are toxic, they are not communicative, they want to hurt each other because they're hurting, and to be confronted by that is, you know, it's really unpleasant at times. And yet the characters are genuinely very sympathetic characters. You understand where they're coming from, you understand the hurt that they are carrying and the reason why they're going out and hurting other people. I mean, I've even cried at a few points while reading this manga because the story is just told in such a loving, caring, compassionate way. There's this chapter where Sayako and her mom are having a lot of tension, and Sayako's mom loves her to death, but it goes on to explore like the struggles of a parent of a queer kid. Like, you love your child, but you were not given a manual to know how to raise and love a queer child in the way that they are supposed to. And this is a feeling, I think, and a realization that I think a lot of queer people end up confronting at some point in their life. And listen, Tommy Fool never lets Sayako's mom off the hook, but they're also saying like, hey, you know, we're human. We make mistakes and then we learn and we grow from them. That theme in general is such a core part of the story when the characters get to that point where they have really matured. It is so satisfying to witness. Ultimately, how do we relationship is the story of two people who deeply love each other. Sayako and Miwa they love each other so much in so many different ways, and they want nothing more to be loved as well. They just don't know how to move through that sticky mess that is called love. A lot of people similarly don't know how to do that. And Tommy Fool is there to show how these two idiots do it. It's a really good manga. I really hope you check it out. That's How Do We Relationship by Tommy Fool. And we are at the top of the hour. I have talked for a very long time about Yuri manga. I hope you consider checking out these titles. You know, Fluttering Feelings by Samba, my special shout out. But really importantly, please give a read for Keshley's Hands by Murata and How Do We Relationship by Tommy Fool. Like two total opposite ends of the spectrum. One of them is like hijinks rom-com, the other one is about like people who hate themselves. We love duality here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. And I thank you so much for tuning in today. I will be sharing more Yuri manga recommendations next week, so tune in for Category 3, which is romances between adults. I'm very excited for that one because my favorite Yuri manga is going to be recommended. So strap in and get ready. For now, tune in to more great CJSF programming. Check out Analog Archives with Danny here on 90.1 FM at 6 o'clock on Thursday evenings. It's a really fun one. And if you miss it, you can also catch it on our archives, our digital archives on cjsf.ca. But Danny basically goes through the physical library at CJSF. He pulls out a couple albums and then he discusses them for an hour. It's just like weird, eclectic, interesting music. If you like that, you'll love Analog Archives. Again, Thursdays from 6 to 7 here on 90.1 FM. Let's do one final song now. I love them. You'll love them. Let's love them here on the show. It's Satine with Music Box here on CJSF 90.1 FM, typically Tuesdays. I've been Leslie, and I'll talk to you very soon. This song.